Okay. And it's just us, but for the sake of the recording, we will also recite the translation. What we're saying in Arabic is, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to Allah, cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not of those whose portion is wrath, nor of those who go astray. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. So, as we know, we have been studying out of the book Secrets of Divine Love, and our dear sister Rahima from Philadelphia, who is on with us this evening, introduced this book to us. And I wanted to tie a couple of things in. Bina sent me a clip from Instagram that she saw, and it's a powerful, powerful clip. And it really, and I have had these thoughts all along, because years ago we did the research on the history of marriage among African Americans, before, during, and after slavery. And in that research, we did see that there was a decline in our marriages, and Caucasian marriages as well, around World War II, the end of World War II. And but their marriages leveled off and stopped the decline. The decline slowed way down. Ours did not. Ours did not. So we hear standard messaging about the status of our marriages and everything, and but nothing that's going to bring the clarity of it home to us, as we are going to hear in this clip. So what we want to do in this show is look at a couple of sections in chapter 3 that we have already gone over. And one of them is the mercy of Allah, the unconditional, God is unconditionally merciful. Allah is unconditionally merciful. That, and the next section is how the transforming power of scripture, because we really, really need some transformation. Okay. So I'm going to queue up this clip for us to listen to it. And you might want to take some notes. All right, but here's this clip, and this is from Black Enterprise, on Instagram.
Marriage in our culture is down to 34%. When we were growing up, it was 85%, it's now down to 34%. 71% of our sisters are not married, 29% get married, 63% of our brothers are not married, 30% of them will never get married. There is no culture in the history of humankind that has risen to maximize their full human potential without family at the center of their culture. This only exists. This is an interesting but negative statistic. This phenomenon of the existential crisis of our family only exists among African American black people. It does not exist on the continent or anywhere else in the diaspora. So there must be something in the water. We must fix this. It's a lot easier said than done because it is impacting our wealth. Quick statistic. For 350 years, household median income was dominated by white people. They were number one in this country. They no longer are number one, they're number three. And there's a reason for it. So, who has the highest household median wealth in America? It's East Indians, $104,000 a year. What's the marriage rate in the East Indian culture? 94% tool working. Who's number two? Chinese Asians. Household median income, $110,000 a year. Marriage rate, close to 70%. Number three are white people. Household median income, $88,000 a year. What's the marriage rate? Almost 50%. Down significantly. Number four are Hispanics. Household median income, $61,000 a year. Marriage rate close to 70%. We are at the bottom. Household median income $55,000 a year. Marriage rate 34%. And projected based on facts and statistics that if we do not fix this, because white folks ain't fixing this, our marriage rate will be in the low teens in the next 20 years. We must, this is an enormous challenge. That's a whole talk by itself on how do we fix it. It can be fixed, but we have to, first of all, understand that this is a problem. No one's talking about this problem. This is a huge problem. It's the number one problem in our culture. So we must fix it. Wow. There's a talk I give on the five biggest challenges black people have.
Okay. So this was Dr. George C. Frazier, CEO and founder. The words are in the way. But CEO and founder. I can't see it. I will get the information and have it before we end. But Black Enterprise posted this on Instagram. So if you want to pull up Dr. George C. Frazier, and tag Black Enterprise, you'll see this clip. But I'm gonna research it and get the whole clip. Now this is when the alarm bells go off. They should have gone off a long time ago, but we have had to know, looking at what's going on in our culture, in our climate, the incarceration of African American men and women now, and but not at the same level as men, of course, and the homosexuality, the alternative lifestyles, all these things are impacting the Caucasian marriages and our African American marriages, impacting us at a higher rate. But Caucasians are following these alternative lifestyles, LGBTQ, what, and other letters. Is the demise and the total breakdown of the family. It is the looking at marriage as other than a sacred institution and not tying marriage, proper marriage that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for man and woman to exist and develop in, disregarding it, is destroying our population. It's destroying it. And the alarm bells are not really going off. He is the only person that we have heard this from in this and with this kind of clarity, with these kind of projections. Every African American news media should be broadcasting this and raising the alarm bell. That we are in a crisis. The African American family is in a crisis. It's a crisis level. And I did hear Brother Michael Hameen speak about that briefly on one of his shows. Where he talked about how we are in a crisis as an African American family. So we know how to fix it. As believers, we know how to fix it. We know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the cure with the revelation of the Holy Quran. And the roles of the male and the female and the structure of the family life. And we also know that Allah is the most merciful redeemer, able to redeem and restore, because we've witnessed it. We've been redeemed. I would shudder to think of who I would be and what my life would be like had Allah not blessed me to find the Sirat al-Mustaqim, or giving me the invitation to come to the Sirat al-Mustaqim and join the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the same for all of us. We were lost, and Allah blessed us and helped us and guided us on this path. So we deal with family and marriage and the issues that we face with family and marriage, finding a mate, staying married, setting that model, and teaching others on how to be successful at it. But I think one thing that we have not targeted in our processes, not targeted enough, is our ability to fight off the influences of shaitan that are going to come after our families, after our relationships, to break them up, to render us helpless to the attacks of the shaitan, especially a new people, as we are, African Americans, converts, reverts, whatever you want to call it, back to our religion, back to the Sirat al-Mustaqim. We have to know that there is a full-blown attack. Shaitan has a full-blown attack on our families. So one of the things that we really should look at in the courtship process is that, do you understand? Do both people understand that we are going to face these attacks in our families, in our marriages? And are we equipped? Have we equipped ourselves to be victorious? If we look at it from that way, it's going to be a much different outlook of what do I want from you or what do you want from me? Or this is what I need. This is, you know, those things are important. True. But what about how are we going to survive the assaults from the Shaitan? What is our strategy? Yeah. How do we protect our children in this climate from the attacks that are going to come to them? And we have the formula and the format for that. You know, we attack the problems, not each other. And we keep our children close under our influences, under the influences of the Holy Quran and our Sister Clary Muhammad schools and our Muslim community with other Muslim families. And if we can, instead of sending them off to colleges, we should have a league house on every campus, or an extension of the family to help protect our children from these environments, because we see the plan vividly. You know, quietly, we're looking at ourselves making progress and having more wealth and doing all these things, but we have missed the big picture. The big picture has been lost. That the family dynamic has not been healed, has not been cured, has not been uplifted, has not been addressed on a collective level. And we are at the gate of not existing anymore. Our families are being demised. So this is what we want to talk about. And I'd like to get your thoughts on this and look at strategies that we can do, that we can put in place to help sound the alarm and to get like-minded people together that are willing to do this work and willing to help change these circumstances around, inshallah. Does anybody have any thoughts or comments that they would like to make? Okay, well, until something comes to mind, Rahima, can you go over the section in chapter 3 that Allah is unconditionally merciful? Because it's important for us to understand that we are not without help. We are not without Allah's help. And if you don't have it available, I can try to go ahead and read it. Okay, Bina, go ahead.
All right, Assalamu
Walaikum
alaikum. To what you were speaking about in terms of what we can do or having any ideas, I was just thinking after I actually heard the recording earlier, I was thinking, I'm wondering, is everything is a loss cutter, right? So it's in a loss cutter. So I'm wondering if, I was it's just an idea. Is he is the plan to eliminate the African American and just have them mainstream into the rest of the community and have being Muslim be more predominant? It was just an idea. Because I think about listening to a lot of our younger people, and their conversation is always, well, I don't want to bring another child into this world. This is this world. We need to just get rid of it and start all over again. I hear younger people saying this, quite a few. They don't want to have children, they don't want to have families. And when they see other people having a lot of children, their idea is, she must really be happy or something to be having all those children. I mean, this is so it's like the propaganda that might have been fed into our community, I guess, via the movies or whatever, just social media, has a lot of our young people saying that we shouldn't be bringing more children into this world. So that was just an idea. So I think changing the narrative would help by really promoting marriage. And one of my ideas that I have been on a soapbox about anytime I've been around brothers that have an idea or a way of, or who gives kippahs, is that I'm just suggesting that I think every, well, it should be a one Friday out of the four Fridays we have in a month. One Friday should be dedicated to marriage and family. And then at least the other one be to building the community. And then the other two, they can speak about whatever. And this doesn't have to be something that they all do together, but at least dedicating two Fridays out of a month. I mean, because to be able to get the word and the information out, because it, I mean, that's when we have the attention of our brothers. And it's very important to get that information out to them. I think the sisters know it, but they can be reminded. They need to be reminded as well, but the brothers, I think, that's a very important message for them to have. So if they're getting that attention, if the imams have their ears, I think that's something, that's one thing they can do. The imams don't have all the solutions, but having their ears, I think that's a powerful thing. I mean, that's powerful.
Yes, you know, being a you hit the bullseye. You really did, because that's I wasn't able to jump right on, but I dealt with that Friday after Juma, and the imam had the ears. He was saying, you know, family life, and really talking about family life, but he didn't address what the wife. The wife and the husband's relationship within the components of the family is so important to highlight the roles of the man and the importance of his leadership in his home. And I think sometimes it's almost like they're afraid to like say what it is and be honest. For the pleasure of Allah, just be honest and allow people to grow in their own essence, sometimes their own shame or their own good, for their own good to grow. But if no other man is telling them, a leader, the imam, the minister, telling them what God expects from them, then they go on what they believe. Or what they have intake to be what a man is in his home. And a lot of ne neglecting the roles are happening. And it's almost now where brothers are telling sisters 50-50, or what it, how much money are you making? So now the man is like, okay, you take on some of this responsibility, or you take this responsibility. And the sister is like, no, I got everything else to do. And so it is identity of the roles that need to be highlighted. And I am going to be speaking with my imam, and also the Majlis al-Shura. I have their ear every once a month, and I'm gonna bring it up, in the month of February, is how important it is for them, the imams, to help nurture the family life and the roles of the male and the female and the husband and the wife. And if there's no children there anymore, if it's an empty nest still, what is our roles? What is the love that should be shared? Examples of what it should be like. But a lot of times, and I have to say it, if they're not living that life themselves, they don't necessarily want to bring it up, the conversation. If they're struggling with their own marriages, if they're having some, and so that's where it say Shaitan, as Munira was saying earlier, that the problem is definitely that Shaitan is just whispering constantly, and we have to keep Quran in our lives, recitation of Quran in our homes. Constantly remembering Allah throughout the whole entire day, all the way from the Fajr prayer till you make that Isha and you're saying good night. Is even though you're having a common relationship, is so important for the night to highlight itself as you lay down with, oh Allah, allow us to wake up, allow our souls to return. And so it's really. And as far as mass incarceration and the essence of the family, we're in trouble. Definitely in trouble. And that's why I remember how it was with our ancestors. They stayed married 30, 40, 50 years, but that don't mean they didn't deal with issues. That don't mean they didn't deal with, some serious things, but they kept it together. And it was the woman that most of the time that knew how important that family was to keep them together. And a lot of times the man stayed because he wanted to keep it together too. But nowadays it's like, okay, I'm out.
Yes. Many times when I talk, when I looked at a marriages during Reconstruction, there was a unity, a specific unity operating among us as African American people. And that unity was based on becoming established free people. Becoming established free people. And their plan was to restore family. They went off looking for family, walking, finding their families, restoring the family units, working, sharecropping, working land, making money, to buy land. That was a part of the plan, to buy and own land and work with agriculture. That was the economic base. And that's what we were doing on a collective level, because this was the strategy. Okay. So of course the strategy, we were being very successful at it, where we were producing maybe 12% of the gross national product of the country through agriculture. And all the thousands of farms and land and the land that we own. And then everything that centered around that, we had to take care of our own farm equipment and have our mechanics and have our veterinarians and everything. We had to have our own because we were segregated. So we had a whole business climate built up around becoming established. Well, we hear these statistics that were just laid out by Mr. Frazier, I believe. Is that enough for the average African American to come into a different mindset that playtime is over? We have to roll up our sleeves and get busy and save ourselves and our families and build our culture back up. Is this enough to change the mindset? As believers, we know we seek to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the best reason. We seek to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to uphold Allah's institution and the sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. But for the person that is not Muslim, is this enough of a eye-opening experience as to where we are, the status of where we are as a race, to spark a change? What are your thoughts?
If this, I think hearing, I think working together is what can make this happen. Because that's what was done right after slavery. We were working together. Everybody was working together. Everybody was on like on the same plane. I mean, they knew coming out of slavery, education is the thing that we need to do. They knew that first of all, they needed to get their families. Then they needed to create a home for them. And then to take it a step further is to get the education. This is, I mean, you know, this is what our people were taught. They were taught that in church. In their families supported that idea, and so they passed that on from one generation to the next. But a big part of that is that they got that information from their spiritual leader. They got it from church. They would go to church together. They would hear this, you know, they would hear it together. And so everybody knew what the plan was. Everybody knew what they were working on because they knew what they needed to do for themselves because they were in a world almost like to themselves. You have to do these things on your own. This is what you have to do. This is what we have to do. So having that mindset that this is what we need to do for ourselves to get ahead, people were working together. And that's the kind of spirit that we need to have now is working together. I heard this saying, you can go fast alone, but you can go farther together. I think that was in that the Secret of the Divine Love. I heard that. Get so many nuggets from that. So if we're doing this together, if we're working together, if we hear this, we constantly have to continue to hear this because hearing it, you say, will just what this Brother Frazier said, will that be enough to spark it and African Americans outside of the Muslim community. Well, let's talk about inside the Muslim community as well. We need to hear it over and over again. It needs to be heard so much where we're tired of it, or we're going to do it because we're tired of hearing about it, if that's what it takes. Because it, you know, I don't. If we don't know how serious it is, I mean, that's how serious we should it should be, and that's how we should because it is serious. And when you think about a race of people being gone in the next 20 years, 20 years, do you know how quickly 20 years goes by? Too fast, you know, like in a snap, almost like in a in a blink. It doesn't take long for 20 years to go by. So that means that something has to happen like now, and it needs to keep happening, and it needs to be in front of everybody. It needs to be said over and over and over again for folks to get it, just like the young people listen to the rap songs over and over and over again and can say them word for word. We need to be hearing those types of things where that we're working together. And I said earlier too, and I just want to say this and I'll be done, that our one Friday should be for family, and I meant the other. And our second Friday should be for education. And that's what I meant. Because you're talking about family, you're talking about community and building the community. And the other, and at least one Friday out of the month for education, pushing education. And that doesn't necessarily mean, oh, go to high school, go to college. It just means education, meaning constantly learning, constantly studying, constantly, constantly learning things. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's very important. Because another piece to the clip was him showcasing the levels of poverty, and that we were at the lowest when it comes to household, the average household income. The Latinos were higher, had higher percentages of wealth and income than we have. So we were at the lowest when that goes. Now, what happens to a people that's at the lowest level when it comes to having families, they have the marriages, okay, and income. Okay, you don't see the opportunity there to compete with those above you. Now, that is probably one of the factors that can be addressed quicker by getting married and having those two incomes and increasing the wealth. That can create more opportunities for education and those things like that. But then, there's still a lot of work to do. And that means that it's no time to play games. It's no time not to be a person of character, commitment, honor, to be honorable, and all the things that will build a great society. We have to become those people and have the honor and the dignity to deal with each other. When we look at the status of the world and the writing that's on the wall, we see that evil is,
No time, huh?
yeah, is very prevalent, and it's just blatant where,
Late.
evil is trying to take advantage or take control of the situation. So we have to consciously work to be good people, to be good to each other, to put goodness in society, trust in the society, love, honor, dignity, all of the good characteristics that are necessary to fight off evil, to fight off hurt, pain, destruction. We have to do this work, and this is the work that's done in family anyway. But We have to consciously make those commitments to be those people that are if we as if for those who are not Muslim, to be those good people that were in your family before, not what's streaming, you know, not what's the roles that are being given to us. That's gotten us to this point. So there are some changes that have to be made and be made quickly. And Allah is definitely merciful, and Allah can help us,
Yes.
you know, with this. And we transformed in a generation, building a nation, transformed in a generation. Came up with all kind of money as poor people to build a nation. So it's within our reach, it's within our grasp. We've done it during Reconstruction. You know, they changed the whole economic system that we had. We had an agricultural economic system. And we were being so successful at that. They put the agricultural components on the market where now they're commodities and changed the rule of the game and led us into industry, working for someone else when we were landowners, owning our own land, owning our own institutions, schools, hospitals, mechanics, feed stores, midwives. We were working towards a very healthy life, a very healthy establishment. Okay, so we have the blueprint to do this. And our Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, gives us a whole new blueprint as a businessman and establishing a ummah. Be built on Islamic finances and honorable living, and living to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the blueprint. So this is very important. Would you like to say something to Lacey? Well, okay, one moment here. Let me make sure I can. I can hear you. I want to make sure that they can hear you. Hold on. Go ahead. Go ahead. Speak. Yes, you're being heard.
Shahid Abdullah was on Freedom, I think his program is called. And if he was talking about this topic, but from a different perspective. He was talking about the role of mother, and how important the role of mother is. And even from a societal point of view, even when there's no children there, he was talking about the role of mother as a nurturer and for raising the children. And he mentioned the prophet's peace be upon him, statement that paradise lies at the foot of the mother. And but he was talking about how the role of a mother has been deteriorated in the society, so much the woman, but mother, that idea of the woman as a mother, even in the societal role as a mother. And I think that when he was talking about that, you know, I was thinking to myself, I said, you know, we haven't worked that idea of building the family through the woman. And he was emphasizing, overemphasizing. I would suggest that you take a listen to that poem. just at night on EM360 just before it went south. And we were bringing up the how the rule of man has been damaged intentionally to allow the role of mother and woman to be exploited by the society. So when I was listening to the comments, I was reflecting on that particular aspect of human relationships. There's two sides to that. There's a side for the woman to play and play a role as the role that God gave. And you know, and another thing he was emphasizing, not so much the monetary equivalents that I read about money and this and that, but the role itself, how important that is and how significant that is. But he also took it from not just with the children, but even on a societal basis, the role of mother in the society had deteriorated. And he felt that that's where we should be focusing to bring back the society. I was listening to the tape as well, the clip, you know, about complaining about what's the problem and what this is and what's that, but what do we do about it? Build the role of mother in the society and in the individual as well. Have that, rebuild that concept. Because that's what the devil has destroyed, is the concept of the role of mother, that nurturing concept. And I think that will go a long way. And I thought about it more or less too in the secular world because I started to look at my neighbors out on the streets, etc., young people on the streets. He also talked about feminizing of the society, that the male is being feminized and you know, I think one week he was talking about how when a society started to live in luxury and everything is easy, he was talking about how the men were strong and brave and et cetera, but then they started to getting prosperous, and then the men started to taking on femininity aspects. We see this in the society today, that things are easy. Things are easier now, and there's an all-out effort to feminize the male. This is another effort of Pharaoh's theory of killing the male and allowing the woman to live. So the male leadership is being attacked, and men are sensitive to that as well. So I would say we have to look at a real balanced approach to this topic, to tell these men to talk to the brothers, to talk to the women too. They have a responsibility to play in this, and all of us have to team up to make this happen. It's not going to be happening by trying to convince the men to do this, do that. You know, so just want to put those things on the table, and I would suggest that recording on AM360 is really worth listening to, because it was about building the family. That's what it was about, but building it from the natural order that Allah has set the family up in, the woman's the role of mother. Role of mother in the family. That goes on and on and on. Thank you.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Thank you. You're welcome. Brother Michael, come on in. Unmute your mic and you can participate.
Thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you. Assalamualaikum. Welcome.
Alaikum assalam to you and to all on the line. Oftentimes, we are not told about the role of religion and scripture in undermining the role of the woman, and how she's been Eve, the the companion of the devil in man's downfall. She's been Jezebel. All of these negative stereotypes have come out of scripture, and they have the woman from the church, the woman not having a soul. These things have been perpetrated for thousands of years, and now the analysis of our social scientist leader, Imam Muhammad, he identified that God is bringing the proper respect and placement in the social life. After thousands of years, a woman is being raised up. And why is this? Because partially because the role of woman traditionally as a nurturer and one who, and I'm not speaking it in derogatory terms. Women know how to clean things up, and this world needs to be cleaned up because of the mess that men have made as leaders in the world. So I wanted to add that to the picture, to the perception. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, and thank you for those comments, Brother Michael. And Brother Michael, I'm going to play a clip for you, and it's a short clip. We listened to it at the top of the show, but I want you to hear this clip as well. And this is what we based our conversation on tonight. And I remember you brought up the idea of how do we sound the alarm? How do we sound the alarm regarding our circumstances as African Americans? So we want you to listen to this clip. One moment, we'll get it queued up.
Challenges black people have for the next 100 years. The number one challenge is the existential crisis of the black family. The existential crisis of the black family. Marriage in our culture is down to 34%. When we were growing up, it was 85%. It's now down to 34%. 71% of our sisters are not married. 21% get married. 63% of our brothers are not married. 30% of them will never get married. There is no culture in the history of humankind that has risen to maximize their full human potential without family at the center of their culture. This only exists. This is an interesting but negative statistic. This phenomenon of the existential crisis of our family only exists among African American black people. It does not exist on the continent or anywhere else in the diaspora. So there must be something in the water. We must fix this. There's a lot easier said than done because it is impacting our wealth. Quick statistics. For 350 years, household median income was dominated by white people. They were number one in this country. They no longer are number one. They're number three. And there's a reason for it. So, who has the highest household median wealth in America? It's East Indians. $104,000 a year. What's the marriage rate in the East Indian culture? 94% who are working. Who's number two? Chinese Asians. Household median income, $110,000 a year. Marriage rate, close to 70%. Number three are white people. Household median income, $88,000 a year. What's the marriage rate? Almost 50%. Down significantly. Number four are Hispanics. Household median income, $61,000 a year. Marriage rate, close to 70%. We are at the bottom. Household median income, $55,000 a year. Marriage rate, 34%. And projected based on facts and statistics that if we do not fix this, because white folks ain't fixing this, our marriage rate will be in the low teens in the next 20 years. This is an enormous challenge. That's a whole talk by itself on how do we fix it. It can be fixed, but we have to, first of all, understand that this is a problem. No one's talking about this problem. This is a huge problem. It's the number one problem in our culture. So we must fix it. There's a talk I give on the five biggest challenges
Okay.
black people have.
Okay, Brother Michael, this is how that what we started the top of the show with from this clip. And this.
I'm so tired of you sick, you sick. You got problems. Well, where's the damn, excuse me, where's the solution?
Yes.
We were told that these issues have a basis, a foundation. The foundation is the worst type of slavery that has ever been practiced in the world, where a people are totally separated from their past connections. And now, after watching Dr. Phil and these other psychologists, we understand where this kind of trauma and separation that it causes dysfunction. And you have a whole group of people, African Americans, Negroes, that have been made dysfunctional in the vital areas of our life. And they keep talking about the doggone sicknesses. Well, where is the root of it? There's a science in medicine called pathology, where you trace the sickness. You try to identify, well, where did this come from? And then after doing so, you can have a better approach in terms of the cure or the help to bring back to proper health. And these people keep playing these narratives, and it sounds like they're saying something, but they're not. What the heck is let me see if I can't find it. I had pulled it up. Existential crisis. Are inner conflicts characterized by the impression that life lacks meaning and confusion about one's personal identity? Now that's a lot clearer to where the rubber meets the road than existential. That $75 word, how does it help us? But inner conflicts, we understand. I'm troubled on the inside. My soul is not at rest. I have a view, an impression that my life doesn't have any meaning. Why? Well, terroristic tactics, when black folks were getting on their feet and excelling in community life, in education, in governance, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Rosewood, then here you have these terroristic attacks that put on the mind, Negro, you need to stay in your place. You are not supposed to be serving your own interests. You were made, Negro, you were made to serve other people's interests and help them get on their feet here in America. So, I mean, that's where we need to take ourselves and take others, and the solution is clear. The last scripture, the Holy Quran, brings us the solution. God tells us about ourselves. He tells us that we are created to serve a purpose, the purpose of serving His will and plan, to make our life better and make our family life better, and that He put in us what's necessary. We don't have to search for it any further than looking inside ourselves. And I'll stop with that.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Rahima, did you want to say something?
I'm just reflecting on, just having reflections and flashbacks on Honorable Elijah Muhammad, may Allah forgive him of his sins and grant him paradise. How Allah brought him into our midst. And we of course we made the transition with Imam Muhammad. Then Imam Muhammad tried to give us a vision of a people, a new Africa, and what we needed to do. And we're still struggling, striving, and moving and grooving, but it's so much loss because so many people have rejected that which was brought. And it reminds you of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he told all the prophets in the past have told their people what was coming before them. And it's like we just got, just like the Imam said, just got dumbfounded. And like we forgot, and as the Quran say, events happen and then man forgets, like it never happened. And what is so amazing, as he was saying, what is the solutions to mass incarceration? When half the brothers haven't did no crimes, yeah, some of them did, but then there's some have not, and there is thousands and thousands who are there unjustly. And even Biden, President Biden, tried to release some people recently because they weren't guilty. And so then we look at, I mean, it's just so many things that we need to take a look at. And until people sacrifice, and I was just reflecting on how we sacrificed in the first part of our growth, how we went to Sister Claire Muhammad schools and we worked for nothing. I mean, we had to because the money wasn't there, but the love was. And so we helped raise some geniuses right there throughout Chicago, throughout Detroit, throughout Philadelphia, at those Sister Claire Muhammad. Sometimes I go to the alumni meetings at the Sister Claire Muhammad, and there they have we have successful engineers and doctors and lawyers that were, and they're proud that they were graduates out of Sister Claire Muhammad. And as I was saying Sunday to the Majlis, until we sacrifice our lives and our death for the future of our youth, for our children, then we're going to be in a lost state. And so, yes, it has to be okay. I know I want to go on that cruise, and maybe you can go on that cruise, but we have to put more focus now on how we can save some of them, even though we can't maybe not be able to save the whole masses. But that, inshallah, that we'll be able to save enough that can carry this message and to the next generation. Because we lost so many generations in between all the chaos of taking the man out of the house and latchkey schools and latchkey and all of this, which is, so it's just has to be solution oriented, has to be
Yeah.
solutions.
Yes. And one let's not forget the solution. 312-626. Can you give us your name, please? iPhone 312-626. Can you give us your name? Take yourself off mute, please, and give us your name. Okay.
Assalamu
Walaikum assalam.
This is Naja Khalil.
Okay, Sister Najwa, assalamu alaikum. Welcome.
Well, thank
Welcome.
you. Walaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. So let's not forget the one the most important thing that we forgot. And this is for African Americans at large, is that we left off our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming through our experiences and coming through reconstruction and everything in our journey. We stopped calling on Allah like we did before, and knowing that the promise of Allah was true. That surety that we had, it diminished on a from a on a collective basis, and we thank Allah for directing us and bringing us back to our deen, to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, and there are many who have held on to faith, but that is a point of correction that we must address as well. that chasing the world and the dunya and leaving off that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has caused us some harm, and has shifted our whole paradigm on a collective basis as African Americans. Yeah, so that is a huge part of the work that we do have to address, and inshallah, you know, we can come up with strategies and ways to do that. And we don't have to ask everybody to become a Muslim, you know, just know that God is one, and remember the Creator in your life, and pray and seek guidance. Be conscious of the Creator in your life. You know, starting there is a place to restore us, and inshallah, that can help keep some out of prison. You know, and that life that will lead them to destruction, inshallah. Well, if Muslim here, let me get you up to the. Go ahead.
As I stated, I was listening to Imam Shahi's program, and he was so much pressing on that topic of mothers, and you know, and I actually was thinking, well, what can we do to start to go back again and readdress this, because we have readdressed it in the first resurrection. This was something that was very prominent. You know, we had started calling our women queens and et cetera, et cetera. And protecting them. We had the idea of protecting them, et cetera. But you know, I was thinking of a tagline, putting the mother back in the hood. Putting motherhood back in the hood. I think we need to start having those kind of conversations, and we need to start posting those type of messages of concern that the idea of mother has left the importance of it has left. We know it's there. We know it's always prevalent. You can't get away from it. But the role of mother. What does a mother do? What is the functionality of that role? And I think that's what has been really dim, because now, you know, by the men being taken out of the society, women have taken on the role of both man and woman in the homes. And forced to do it. I've been forced to do it. I'm not saying voluntarily did it. But he talked about that. He was talking about how the mother has to make sure her son is growing up as a man, that he's taking on manly responsibilities and he's not being feminine. But we need to put the mother back in the hood. That's going to be my mission, so to speak, to really address that deteriorated state. And the mother, we have to keep in mind, every man comes from a mother. He comes from a mother. The woman is the womb of mind. Imam brought that to our attention very clearly. So that's a big role. That's a big role. And it shouldn't be equated with dollars and signs and material signs. No, it's a human role that has to be really focused on to get out of this mess that we are in, that we are talking about. I just wanted to share that. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Michael. Go ahead and unmute your phone. And
yes, thank you. You know, the guidance of God in the Holy Quran is And when we look at how Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, how he applied that, that is enough. If we have those insightful and inspired leaders among men and women to bring that to us, there's something about the Arabic language. Arabic language is a verbal language, an action language, and it also does not acknowledge a neutral gender. A book, a table, a chair, everything is either masculine or feminine in terms of its operation. It has a masculine operation or a feminine operation. This kind of insight helps us when God tells us to save ourselves and our families from the fire whose fuel is men and stones. So there's an environment that's attacking the family life, and the men are told of their operational role as providers and protectors. So that's addressing them primarily, but the woman has a role, the feminine role, in terms of nurturing and putting in those early values. Imam Muhammad identified the language as female entrusted ties of relationship. In other words, her vision helps the children, the family, stay focused because she's been created from the first woman. She's been created to identify these roles. She's the first one that presents the cultural expression to the children. She presents the picture of what the world is like before the child's mind is turned on, where they can see for themselves and attempt to think independently. So I believe the strategies are with us. We just need inspired men and women to help us to flesh them out and to apply them. This is my personal opinion. And it's a struggle. You know, we kind of take for granted that we have had hundreds of years of social conditioning against our interests. That's no small thing. You don't correct that in a generation, but you bring putting the light on that social conditioning, putting the light on that dysfunction, and putting the light on what the Creator has put in us. I smile and I tell people, it's not going to turn out the way the devil thinks it's going to turn out. You know, the devil is so certain of his ability to cause us to fail, cause us to fall. He's certain of that. But even in his in the name, there's a picture of being made to despair. It's God has intended, when he first created everything, he has intended it to go in a certain direction. So whatever the devil has been allowed to perform and to achieve is within the plan of God to make us stronger, to make us more sophisticated, to make us more productive, to make us better able to resist harm. And so these diabolical plans that the devil has, God has permitted the exercise of free will. That's what made the devil. The devil chose to be a devil. You know, he chose to resist Almighty God because he had the freedom of will to do so. So I'll stop with that. And again, you know, Allah is over this process that we're involved in. And though it may take many years, God is also capable of advancing it, speeding up the process a bit, if he so wills, speeding up the process where it's not going to take two and three generations. But even if it does, it's okay, because we're coming out of darkness into the light. And I'll stop.
Yes, go ahead.
Peace and blessings to everyone. I wanted to add a caveat to that, putting the mother back in the hood. Let's elevate the value of mother in the hood. Let's reestablish the value of mother, the idea of mother in our neighborhoods and our communities. I think that's a very powerful approach. That was discussed also, that this was the most valuable position, more than a doctor, more than a lawyer, more than this or that. Because the mother is all of those things. Mother is all of those things. So that's really what has been attacked more than by certainly killing male leadership has contributed to the support and the strength that the mother needs. But the idea of mother has been diminished. So that's really what I wanted to share. Thank you.
Okay, alhamdulillah. All right. Well, we're going to begin to wrap up. So any final thoughts? Bina, I see you.
My mic went. Yes.
Yes, go right ahead.
And just speaking to the idea of bringing the recognition to the mother, when we look at that in practicality, we're looking at our men stepping up to give them the opportunity to be all that she can be in that role. So she definitely needs him. She needs her husband, her mate, to be there with her, supporting her, and being strong in the role that Allah blessed or has ordained for him, for her to be able to manifest all the good qualities that she has in her for raising the family and supporting the home and being the first teacher. She needs that man by her side to be able to do that. I just wanted to make that point.
Alhamdulillah, that's an excellent point to make. Okay. Anyone else have any final thoughts for this evening? Rahima, Sister Najla? Well, I think everything happens for a reason. And even though Blog Talk was down this evening, I think this conversation that we have had is dynamic. And what I am going to do, inshallah, is I did record this. I'm going to figure out how to put this in my Blog Talk spot on AM360 and then send this link out to all the listeners for them to listen to what has been said here tonight, because I think it's very important. Brother Michael, I see your hand is raised. If you'd like to have a comment, go right ahead, and then Sister Rahima can go.
Thank you. And, you know, we go back and forth between the female establishment and the male establishment. And it's not either or, it's both. Both have to come into the roles that God says he has established for men and women to be successful in family life, to be successful in the social life. So the answers are there in the guidance of God. The answers are there in the life of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. And we have been given insight from a social science perspective by Imam Wahdi Muhammad. You know, he eliminates this frustration and anger that you hear certain intellectuals share. They're so frustrated in terms of what has happened to us as a group. Well, that frustration is manifest, as I understand it, because they're not identifying the fact that God is over this process. This is not something where God is absent. There are ugly things. There are things that are bitter to the soul, bitter to the consciousness of men and women. But the bitterness is necessary because the bitterness triggers a response from our soul to go inside and find what God has given us in resilience, in understanding, in abilities to use a subtle, to get through, the slavery, the chattel slavery experience. It wasn't just a feeling experience. There were thinkers. There were those that didn't accept that on rest days that they do the buck dance. There were those that went into the woods and got extra meat for the table, or had spent that time with the farms. And on a number of occasions, Imam Muhammad told us a quote from Margaret Mead, which is socially sound. The progress of human life has never been dependent upon the many. It's always the few. And so his last public comment about if you've got one or two, be happy, because the sunnah, or the practice of Almighty God, is that he will take one or two and he will show them the kind of strategies that are necessary. He will show, look, in both books, the Bible as well as the Quran, there's a picture of a small force being able to overcome a larger force because of superior strategy. In the Bible, he's called Gideon. Gideon taking his troops, the large troops, down by the water. And the same kind of description is given, going down by the water and either drinking a little or not drinking a lot as a test in terms of who's going to go forward to fight this battle that God has prepared, the few with a superior strategy. So I say, be what the book say, be encouraged, be happy, because the believers, God has recorded it that the believers are already successful. So that tells me it's a state of mind, it's a state of soul that brings about success. It's not the exterior circumstances, but it's the interior that will help us to win the battle, to win through, and establish healthy community life. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you. Thank you. Rahima, go right ahead.
That was beautiful. That was like right on time, because the bottom line is, and as I tell my sisters and whomever I speak with, is that we need to stay focused as believers on our goal. And we already know that we were born for the mission. And it's just good for us to continue to educate ourselves, for we can educate our community. Because readers are leaders. So we had to keep on reading and keep on applying and keep on doing what we're doing. And Allah, as the Iran was just saying, he's going to bless us, because the believers already are victorious. We just have to stay, focused, and we can't lose the focus. I mean, it's all right to live your life and live it to its fullest, but in that life is a mission and a purpose. An assignment from Almighty God. We have an assignment that Imam Muhammad, he used to say he wish he could get away from the assignment. I remember Imam Qasim, may Allah with highly grant him paradise. I said, Brother Imam, you need to go on a cruise or something. He said, Sister Raiba, I can't. I'm on a cruise. I'm reading the Quran. I'm studying, teaching people the Quran. I'm on a cruise, and so may Allah grant a paradise. So we just have to continue to do what we're doing as we're doing tonight. And even though it may not been a lot of people on the call, this goes out into the universe. And even though we may think that people don't hear it, it's already being said. It's already plant seeds are being planted. even in our words, as we're speaking the word, and the word goes out. So thank you, and may Allah bless us with a beautiful week. Inshallah, we look forward to talking next week, inshallah.
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 Okay. All right. And so, Bina,
No, I was only clearing my voice and saying, I mean, and yes, it is, everything has been, it's been very powerful. It's a very dynamic conversation this evening. And I've thoroughly enjoyed it. So, no, I was only clearing my voice.
Okay, alhamdulillah. And Sister Najla is new. So, thank you for joining us, Sister Najla. And we will be back next Tuesday. 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're normally on Blog Talk. The Blog Talk was down, so we transitioned over to Zoom and sent out the invites. Okay.
All right. So,
yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So we're going to go ahead and close out, and I'm going to work on getting this link uploaded to AM 360. This broadcast uploaded to AM 360, and then we'll send this link out to all of our listeners so that they can hear tonight's tonight's show, inshallah. So we're going to go ahead and close out. Brother Michael, would you like to close us out with dua?
Can we get one of the sisters to do it?
Sure. Delacy, you want to close out?
Okay.
Okay. Right. Okay. Here, I'm gonna let Brother DeLacy do it. Oh, here he is.
Okay. It's delightful without your help. Make our lives you desire to
be here.
Help us to act only in obedience to you. Not allow us to act on our own. We hear your name.
I mean.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for being here with us this evening, everyone. And I will let you know about the link and when it's up and get that information to you, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.